Good morning. I'd like to call the opening of the bids meeting to order. The first order of business, letter of notification. Gentlemen, certified proofs of publication have been received in the Office of Mineral Resources on behalf of the State Mineral and Energy Board for the State of Louisiana, from the Advocate Official Journal for the State of Louisiana, and from respective parish journals as evidence that track numbers 42336 through 42370 have been advertised in accordance with and under the provisions of Chapter 2, Title 30 of the Revised Statutes of 1950 as amended. There are no letters of protest for today's lease sale, and no tracts will be recommended to be withdrawn from today's sale, and we will proceed with the opening of the bids.
Good morning. There were no bids on tract 42336 or 42337. There were two bids on tract 42338, advertised as 1,955.99 acres. The first bid is for a portion containing 128.27 acres. The bidder is S2 Energy 1 LP. The bid is for a primary term of 5 years, with a cash payment of $28,860.75. $28,860.75, or per acre value of $225. Annual rentals are $14,430.38. $14,438.38. Royalties are 22%. The second bid on track 42338 is for a portion containing 215.44 acres. The bidder is Hellas Oil and Gas Company, LLC. The bid is for a primary term of 5 years, with a cash payment of $100,179.60. $100,179.60, or a per acre value of $465. Royalties are $50,089.80. I'm sorry, annual rental. $50,089.80. Royalties are 23%. As additional consideration for this bid, for the granting of this lease, the bidder agrees that within 1 year from the date of this lease, the bidder will commence or cause to be commenced the drilling or reentry of a bona fide test well in search of oil and gas production on or bottomed under the lease premises or acreage pooled or unitized therewith, and drill such a test well as a reasonably prudent operator in an effort to establish the production of oil and or gas in commercial quantities. In the event the bidder does not drill or re-enter such well, the bidder will pay to the State of Louisiana as liquidated damages the sum of $250 per acre. This drilling obligation is subject to the bidder being able to timely secure all required permits and approvals, including those from the Louisiana Department of Wildlife and Fisheries, and necessary drilling equipment, and subject to the bidder not being prohibited from conducting drilling operations by reason of force majeure. The time of commencement of drilling operations will be deferred until the bidder has been issued the necessary permits or obtained such drilling equipment and or conditions force majeure no longer exist. There were no bids on track 42339. There were two bids on track 42340, advertised as 1,519 acres. The first bid is for a portion containing 30 acres. The bidder is Theopolis Oil, Gas, and Land Services, LLC. Theopolis Oil, Gas, and Land Services, LLC. The bid is for a primary term of 3 years, with a cash payment of $8,250. $8,250. Or a per acre value of $275. Annual rentals are $4,125. $4,125. Royalties are 23.5%. The second bid on track 42340 is for a portion containing 109 acres. The bidder is Cypress Energy Corporation. Cypress Energy Corporation. The bid is for a primary term of 3 years, with a cash payment of $27,795. $27,795. Or a per acre value of $255. Annual rentals are $13,897.50. $13,897.50. Royalties are 22.5%. There were three bids on track 42341, advertised as 1,164 acres. The first bid is for a portion containing 325 acres. The bidder is Theopolis Oil, Gas, and Land Services, LLC. Theopolis Oil, Gas, and Land Services, LLC. The bid is for a primary term of 3 years, with a cash payment of $171,275. $171,275. Or a per acre value of $527. Annual rentals are $85,637.50. $85,637.50. Royalties are 25%. The second bid on track 42341 is for a portion containing 839 acres. The bidder is Theopolis Oil, Gas, and Land Services, LLC. Theopolis Oil, Gas, and Land Services, LLC. The bid is for a primary term of 3 years, with a cash payment of $230,725. $230,725. Or a per acre value of $275. Annual rentals are $115,362.50. $115,362.50. Royalties are 23.5%. The third bid on track 42341 is for a portion containing 154 acres. The bidder is Clayton Williams Energy Incorporated. Clayton Williams Energy Incorporated. The bid is for a primary term of 3 years, with a cash payment of $54,670. $54,670. Or a per acre value of $355. Annual rentals are $27,335. $27,335. Royalties are 23%. There was one bid on track 42342, advertised as 1,040 acres. The bid is for a portion containing 124 acres. The bidder is Cypress Energy Corporation. Cypress Energy Corporation. The bid is for a primary term of 3 years, with a cash payment of $50,716. $50,716. Or a per acre value of $409. Annual rentals are $25,358. $25,358. Royalties are 22.5%. There were no bids on track 42343. There was one bid on track 42344, advertised as 258 acres. The bid is for a portion containing 21 acres. The bidder is Theopolis Oil, Gas, and Land Services, LLC. Theopolis Oil, Gas, and Land Services, LLC. The bid is for a primary term of 3 years with a cash payment of $5,775. $5,775. Or a per acre value of $275. Annual rentals are $2,887.50. $2,887.50. Royalties are 23.5%. There were no bids on tracks 42345 through 42349. There was one bid on track 42350, advertised as 2,498.81 acres. The bid is for a portion containing 1,109.82 acres. The bidder is Attic Investment Incorporated. Attic Investment Incorporated. The bid is for a primary term of 3 years with a cash payment of $223,628.73. $223,628.73. Or a per acre value of $201.50. Annual rentals are $111,814.37. $111,814.37. Royalties are 21%. There were no bids on track 42351 through 42353. There was one bid on track 42354, advertised as 119 acres. The bid is for a portion containing 15 acres. The bidder is Westgrove Energy Holdings, LLC. Westgrove Energy Holdings, LLC. The bid is for a primary term of 3 years with a cash payment of $3,105. $3,105. Or per acre value of $207. Annual rentals are $1,552.50. $1,552.50. Royalties are 21%. As additional consideration, there will be a 10% fee of $310 and $20 per acre, equaling $300. There were no bids on tracks 42355 or 42356. There was one bid on track 42357, advertised as 1,530 acres. The bid is for the entire tract. The bidder is Southern Oil and Gas Company, Incorporated. Southern Oil and Gas Company, Incorporated. The bid is for a primary term of 3 years with a cash payment of $422,280. $280, or per acre value of $276. Annual rentals are $211,140. $211,140. Royalties are 22.5%. There were no bids on tracts 42358 through 42364. There were three bids on tract 42365, advertised as 3.384 acres. The first bid is for the entire tract. The bidder is Matador Resources Company. The bid is for a primary term of 3 years with a cash payment of $37,954.94. $37,954.94. Or a per acre value of $11,216. Annual rentals are $18,977.47. $18,977.47. Royalties are 25%. The second bid on tract 42365 is for the entire tract. The bidder is Classic Petroleum Incorporated. Classic Petroleum Incorporated. The bid is for a primary term of 3 years with a cash payment of $19,881. $19,881. Or per acre value of $5,875. $5,875. Annual rentals are $9,940.50. $9,940.50. Royalties are 25%. The third bid on tract 42365 is for the entire tract. The bidder is QEP Energy Company. QEP Energy Company. The bid is for a primary term of 3 years with a cash payment of $16,920. $16,920. Or a per acre value of $5,000. Annual rentals are $8,460. $8,460. Royalties are 1/4. There was one bid on track 42366, advertised as 5.367 acres. The bid is for the entire track. The bidder is Mid-States Petroleum Company, LLC. Mid-States Petroleum Company, LLC. The bid is for a primary term of 3 years with a cash payment of $1,341.75. $1,341.75. Or per acre value of $250. Annual rentals are $670.88. $670.88. Royalties are 23%. There were no bids on tract 42367. There was one bid on tract 42368, advertised as 10 acres. The bid is for the entire tract. The bidder is Theopolis Oil, Gas, and Land Services, LLC. Theopolis Oil, Gas, and Land Services, LLC. The bid is for a primary term of 3 years with a cash payment of $4,230. $4,230. Or a per acre value of $423. Annual rentals are $2,000. $115. $2,115. Royalties are 22%. There was one bid on track 42369, advertised as 10 acres. The bid is for the entire track. The bidder is Theopolis Oil, Gas, and Land Services, LLC. Theopolis Oil, Gas, and Land Services, LLC. The bid is for a primary term of 3 years, with a cash payment of $4,230. $4,230, or a per acre value of $423. Annual rentals are $2,115. $2,115. Royalties are 22%. There were three bids on track 42370, advertised as 8.95 acres. The first bid is for the entire track. The bidder is Matador Resources Company. Matador Resources Company. The bid is for a primary term of 3 years, with a cash payment of $100,383.20. $100,383.20. Or a per acre value of $11,216. $11,216. Annual rentals are $50,191.60. $50,191.60. Royalties are 25%. The second bid on track 42370 is for the entire track. The bidder is QEP Energy Company. QEP Energy Company. The bid is for a primary term of 3 years, with a cash payment of $44,750. $44,750. Or per acre value of $5,000. Annual rentals are $22,375. $22,375. Royalties are 1/4. The third bid on track 42370 is for the entire track. The bidder is Classic Petroleum Incorporated. Classic Petroleum Incorporated. The bid is for a primary term of 3 years, with a cash payment of $52,581.25. $52,581.25. Or per acre value of $5,875. Annual rentals are $26,290.63. $26,290.63. Royalties are 25%. And that will conclude the opening of today's bids.
Lease Review Committee will now be called into session. A roll call, Mr. Angel, Mr. Segura, Mr. Arnold, Mr. Cordero,
here.
Mr. Diaz, Mr. Ingram, Mr. Martin, Mr. Sanders, Ms. Smith, Mr. Graves. We have a quorum. I hereby convene the Lease Review Committee meeting. Mr. Talbert, would you please present the agenda?
Thank you, Chairman Smith and members of the board. I'm here to present the lease review agenda today. All the board members should have a binder containing information related to this agenda. Let's start with how many active leases there are. 1,866 active leases covering nearly 841,500 acres. The G&E staff reviewed since the last board meeting some 200 leases covering 88,500 acres. Of the 200, we have three leases to discuss in more detail. Let's start with our first lease, being State Lease 328-A and the Bay Baptiste Field. Hillcorp Energy is our lessee. The committee last reviewed this lease on May 11, 2011. The board adopted the committee's recommendation to grant Hillcorp until July 13, 2011 to finalize their second 340-acre partial release, and that they be granted until October 12, 2011 to restore the lease to production or release additional acreage. We're recommending that this lease be deferred until the December meeting. We did get some information from Hillcorp, and it was decided to defer to December. So we'll take up that matter in December. Moving on to our next lease, State Lease 2620, the Lake Pelto Field. Our present lessee is Phoenix Exploration, but that is soon to change. The committee last reviewed this lease on April 13, 2011. The board adopted the committee's recommendation to grant Phoenix until October 12, 2011 to submit a report that would include findings of their ongoing field study to identify new reserves and results of workover and recompletion activity. By letter dated September 30, 2011, Apache Corporation informed this office that Apache and Castex Energy Partner, LP, have acquired all of Phoenix Exploration's lease interests in South Louisiana and requested to be given additional time to submit a report on State Lease 2620. The staff recommends that State Lease 2620 be docketed for assignment by either party within 60 days of this board meeting, and Apache and Castex be granted until May 9, 2012 to submit a report that would include findings of their ongoing field study to identify new reserves and results of workover recompletion activity. Our last lease, or two leases, actually in Redfish Point Field is State Lease 3306 and State Lease 4011. Hillcorp Energy is our lessee. The committee last reviewed these leases on April 13, 2011. The board adopted the committee's recommendation to grant Hillcorp Energy until October 12, 2011 to report on their continued efforts to secure partners to drill the Y-7 sand and any other development activities. By email dated October 27, 2011, Hillcorp reported that because they have been unable to secure partners to participate in the drilling of the Y-7 sand, they have abandoned the prospect. However, Hillcorp has scheduled a rig to sidetrack a well on State Lease 3306 to recover attic reserves by 12/15/2011. Staff is recommending that Hillcorp be granted until April 11, 2012 to report on their sidetracking efforts on State Lease 3306. Are there any questions on these lease matters?
I have one. Phoenix Exploration, Jason. This is all the interest in South Louisiana. How many leases are we talking about? Do we know?
I can't give you an exact number.
Significant? Or?
No, I wouldn't say that. They didn't have a great... Their largest interest was in Chaffalai Bay, which was, I would say, about 10 leases. So.
Okay.
Yeah. Also, we approved two wells for no objections for 29E waiver for both Yuma E&P Company and Hellas Oil and Gas. Mr. Bradbury is going to give us our force majeure report.
Good morning, Mr. Smith, members of the board. I have two matters to bring to the attention of the board this month. The first is a request to confirm recognition of a force majeure after the fact for Big Lane Operating Company on State Lease 4778. This was affected by the spring floods where the Mississippi River came up, and They were affected for a period between May 1st of 2011 to August 26, 2011, when they finally got their stuff back on production. This well is actually physically located in Mississippi, is one of those color points, I guess, in the matter. And water came up fast enough. I showed Mr. Smith a picture of the stock tanks where the water's actually sitting above the stock tanks, and they had to sandbag the top so the top didn't float away and the water didn't get down into the tanks. So they've had to move those tanks since all this. The second matter on for consideration is a request for another 3-month extension for harvest to the February 8th board meeting. They're in the process of finalizing some legal documentation between conflicting parties. Once they get that done, they'll be able to reestablish production in a production platform that was under dispute, and then they'll be able to get it back on production. And they're encouraged by the idea they may get it on before the end of the year. And that's it. And this can all be recognized by the board.
Thank you, Mr. Bradbury. Are there any questions or comments from the board? Any public comments at this time? I need a motion.
Sanders, move we accept staff's recommendation.
I have a motion from Mr. Sanders, a second from Mr. Arnold. All in favor? Any opposed? Motion carries. I need a motion and a second to adjourn the lease review committee. Motion from Mr. Sanders, second from Mr. Arnold. The lease review committee is now adjourned. Thank you.
We call to order the nomination and tract evaluation committee. This time we'll have a roll call. Mr. Klein. Mr. Segura. Mr. Arnold. Mr. Diaz. Mr. Ingram, Mr. Morton,
here.
Mr. Sanders,
present.
Mr. Smith, Mrs. Smith, we have a quorum. Good morning, Ms. Fondo.
Morning, Mr. Cordero, ladies and gentlemen. Previous approval by the board was granted to the staff to process and advertise 35 tracts in the official journal of the state and in the official journal of the parish where the lands are located for today's lease sale. 69 nominations received at the Office of Mineral Resources for the January 12, 2012 lease sale are pending approval by the board for advertising. The staff recommends that they be given the authority to advertise the aforementioned nominations received at the Office of Mineral Resources for the January 2012 lease sale.
Okay, I need a motion and second to accept the staff. Sanders motion,
move.
Second by Mr. Arnold. All in favor? Any opposed? Any public comment on this item? Any comment from the committee? All in favor? Any opposed? Motion passes. Need a motion, second to adjourn nomination track. Motion by Mr. Sanders, second by Mr. Arnold. All in favor? Any opposed? The committee is closed.
Let's call roll for the Audit Review Committee. Mr. Darrell Smith. Mr. Emil Cordero.
Here.
Mr. Paul Segura.
Here.
Mr. Tom Sanders.
Present.
Mr. Michael Morton.
Here.
Mr. Chip Klein. With myself, we have a quorum. Good morning, Rachel.
Good morning.
Good morning, Ms. Rachel.
Excuse me. I'd like to interrupt and make a comment before Ms. Newman begins her report. Previous comments by some individuals regarding the penalties that the office imposes, regarding concerns over the office making money on penalties. I pulled the last 8 years' financial information, and the office actually makes very little of its revenue on penalties. Last fiscal year, it was 1.3% of the revenues, and during the last 8 years, it was a minimum of 0.09% of the revenues and a high of 2.5% of the revenues. I have proof printout of all these revenues from the last 8 years. Any of the board members would like to look at it, but I just wanted to state for the record, this is not a revenue-generating tool for the office. It's really a tool to ensure that the lessees and payers do what they're supposed to do and comply with the terms of their leases.
Thank you, Stacy.
Item number one is a penalty waiver request from Energy 21 Gulf of Mexico, LLC, for a penalty in the amount of $29,596.93. It was billed for the late payment of royalty. On June 27th, Energy 21 paid the state a total of $100,035.44 in late royalty for disposition dates of October 2007 through April 2011. The payment was not related to a field audit. Energy 21 was late in remitting payment due to confusion on whether the acquired wells were state or federal in the main pass block 74 field. Energy 21 was billed and paid $22,604.44 in interest. Based on penalty waiver protocol, staff is recommending a 50% waiver because royalty was outstanding for more than 3 years. The amount of the reduction would be $14,798.47 with a balance of $14,798.46 owed the state.
You've heard staff's report and recommendation. Have a motion, please.
Sanders, move to approve.
Moved to approve by Sanders, second by Segura. Any comments or questions from the public? Any from the committee? Do we have anyone opposed? Hearing none, the motion carries. Item two.
Item number two is a penalty waiver request from McMoran Oil and Gas, LLC, for a penalty in the amount of $78,518.78 billed for audit exceptions. This was not a field audit of McMoran Oil and Gas, but was found as the result of another field audit on a separate company. The desk review covered July 2007 through January 2011. The review began on February 15, 2011. Total royalty collected for the exception period is $61,073,912.44. McMoran provided timely responses to questions and requests for records. McMoran also corrected the problem to ensure accurate reporting for future royalties. They promptly paid the state a total of $301,183.40 in royalty exceptions and $42,585.70 in interest. In accordance with protocol, we are recommending a 100% penalty waiver in the amount of $78,518.78.
You've heard staff's review and recommendation. Can I have a motion, please?
Sanders.
Moved by Sanders to approve. Second by Smith and Segura. Any comments or questions from the public? Any from the committee? Mr. Sanders?
Mr. Rachel, what was the, how did the exception resulting in this underpayment, how did that come about? Was it just...
What was the exception due to?
Yes, ma'am.
Let me check for you.
I'm sorry for my choice of
words. No, that's okay. We had some lease use issues, which is our most common audit finding, and we also had some pricing issues for oil.
The lease interpretation and pricing.
I'm sorry?
Lease interpretation and pricing?
Lease use.
Okay.
They have to pay royalty on lease use gas.
Any other comments or questions from the committee? Is anyone opposed to the motion? Hearing none, the motion carries. Item three?
Item number three and four are actually related. Item number three is a penalty request from Harvest Group, LLC, for a penalty in the amount of $257,960.22 billed for audit exceptions. The field audit of Harvest was for the Harvest Group was for the period of September 2005 through March 2009, and it began on April 27, 2009. Total royalty collected for the audit period was $16,749,731.77. It was the first audit of Harvest Group, and this audit was conducted as a result of bankruptcy. Harvest Group filed bankruptcy on March 31st, 2009. If you'll recall, we had a payment plan that the board approved a couple years back for Harvest. They were very cooperative with the accommodations and scheduling. They provided very timely responses to questions or requests for records, and they have implemented corrective measures. In October 2011, Harvest Group submitted the early final payment on a December 2009 board-approved payment plan. Harvest Group paid the state a total of $981,224.10 in royalty exceptions and $214,518.52 in interest. We are recommending a 100% penalty waiver of $257,960.22 with no balance to the state. And if you do have additional questions, we do have a representative from Harvest here.
You have our staff review and recommendation. The motion?
Sanders, move.
Moves to approve. Second by Mr. Smith. Any comments or questions from the public? Any from the committee? Anyone opposed? Hearing none, the item carries.
Item number 4 is a penalty waiver request from Harvest Oil and Gas, LLC, for a penalty in the amount of $112,639.89, billed for audit exceptions. The field audit was for the period February 2005 through March 2009 and began on April 27, 2009. This was done in conjunction with the other Harvest Group. Total royalty collected for the audit period is $6,848,571.75. It was the first audit of Harvest Oil and Gas. The audit was performed as a result of the bankruptcy filing on March 31, 2009. They were very cooperative with accommodations and scheduling, provided very timely responses to questions or requests for records, and have implemented corrective measures. In October 2011, they submitted the early final payment on a December 2009 board-approved payment plan. They paid the state a total of $386,969.51 in royalty exceptions and $125,005 in interest charges. We are, again, recommending a 100% waiver for Harvest Oil and Gas for a penalty of $112,639.89 with no balance due.
We have staff's report and recommendation.
Sanders.
Move by Sanders to approve. Second by Mr. Cordero. Any comments or questions from the public? Any from the committee? Hearing none? No. Any opposed? Hearing none opposed. Motion carries.
Item number 5 is a recoupment request from Hunt Oil Company for an overpayment in the amount of $70,280.52. State lease number involved is 17695. For the sales month of September 2006, Hunt paid gas sales royalty based on an incorrect volume, which resulted in an overpayment. We have reviewed the documentation and confirmed the overpayment was made, and staff recommends that Hunt Oil is allowed to recoup this overpayment from future royalties.
Here, staff review and recommendation. Motion, please.
Move.
Motion by Sanders. Second by Smith. Any comments or questions from the public? Any from the committee? Is anyone opposed? Hearing none. Motion carries. No, we can do that. The gentleman, the lady from Harvest, just recognize you. Thank you for coming.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Item 6, I believe.
Item number 6 is a staff report to the committee that the election for November 2011 gas is to be paid on a process basis at the Discovery Plant at LaRose and the Sea Robin Plant at Henry for the terms of the State Texaco Global Settlement Agreement.
Thank you, Rachel, for your report. There's no further business, so we are adjourned.
Thank you.
Move to adjourn.
Move by Sanders, second by Segura. Anyone opposed? We are adjourned.
Okay. You can.
Morning, Miss April. Morning, Miss Tech.
Good morning.
Good morning.
How are you folks today?
Okay.
Sure, anyway. Before we get started with the legal and title agenda, we just have a small housekeeping issue we wanted to run by you. This is not something that's going to require a vote.
Okay. There was an item on the October legal and title agenda that was approved in principle. It was subject to advertising of the final instrument and placing on the docket for this month. The advertising didn't take place in time, so it's not on the November docket for this month. The problem is it needs to be approved before December 13th, and the next board meeting is not until December 14th. So we're going to be asking you guys to call a special meeting sometime between now and December 14th. We have a couple of dates in mind.
Well, what happened was, and it's I take responsibility for it, sometimes these things fall through the crack. The advertisement was supposed to have been done timely so that it was on the docket today for final approval. It was an extension of the unit agreement in return for a drilling of a well before June the 13th, 2012, or pay the state an additional $48,000, whatever. We're going to get $97,000. They're going to pay that for that extension, plus if they don't drill the 48. I talked to Secretary Angel yesterday, and he is the one that has to call the special meeting, and he has agreed to, if he was satisfied that the state was getting a correct amount of consideration for the extension. So we ran the issue by the Attorney General's office, Daniel Henry, and we've got an email back from him that says that in his opinion, it is sufficient consideration. It is not a violation of Article 7, Section 14 of the Constitution, which is improper donations of state property. So we do have that okay. We're running that by the Secretary, who, again, if he is satisfied, has agreed to call a special meeting. What we are going to suggest is, for your convenience, rather than have to come in here some odd day before the next meeting, to call the special meeting for the 13th, which is the day before. Most of you may be in town anyway. If we can get at least six of you to agree to be here on the 13th for that specially called meeting, the only item that's going to be on the agenda for that is the final approval of this extension of the unit agreement, and we'll get the Secretary to call that date. That is the in time to allow the extension before it expires. So I just wanted to run that by you and let you know we'll probably poll a number of you after to see who can make it on the 13th for this. But that I just wanted to let you know that's coming down the pike. Separate.
Just a question. This is a board action, not committee action, right?
Correct.
Correct. Yes. This doesn't have to be approved by anybody right now. This is just to let you know.
No, like on the 13th. It's a board meeting, not a committee meeting.
Exactly. Okay.
Mr. Hacker, you interested in a straw poll right now to see how many know that?
Certainly, absolutely.
I can be here. Sanders?
Yeah, it'll be in the afternoon of the 13th. Give you all plenty of time. So, you tell me.
We were thinking maybe 2, but we're open to suggestions.
Okay. I think we have enough people in for them. Okay. All right.
Okay.
Okay. We really appreciate it. And again, that's extra duty for you. And we really appreciate it because we're trying to help these people out, and it's our fault that it wasn't correctly put on the agenda.
Thank you for the mea culpa there. Y'all don't make many of them, so.
We make them. We just try to hide them.
All right, with all that being said, let's get on to legal and title. The first four items on the agenda.
May I call the
roll? I'm sorry, you're right.
Thank you, Mrs. Akel. Mr. Zagura?
Here.
Arnold? Cordero?
Here.
Diaz? Ingram? Martin?
Here.
Sanders? Present. Smith? Here. Ellen Smith? Mr. Graves? We have a quorum. Thank you very much.
Thank you. The first four items on the agenda were previously approved in principle, subject to advertising and docketing, and I'll read each one individually. Each one has been properly advertised and docketed. The first one was a request from Clayton Williams Energy Company for a six-month extension of lease 19949 in exchange for a full rental and a 0.5% increase in royalty. That was approved in principle. It has been properly advertised and docketed, and it's on the docket as item 1137.
Make a motion to approve.
Pleasure of the board. Thank you, Mr. Arnold, for the motion. Mr. Skura for the second. Any public comment? Any board comment? Any objection to the motion? Hear no objection. Motion carries.
Thank you. Item number two was a request for to add an oil shut-in provision by Crawford Hughes Energy LLC to leases, state leases 19938, 19939, and 20042 in exchange for a $50 per acre payment. That item has been properly advertised and docketed, and we're now recommending final approval.
Thank you, Mr. Arnold, for the motion. Thank you, Mr. Segura, for the second. Public comment on the matter? Board comment on the matter? Any objection? Hear none. Motion carries.
Thank you. Item number three was a request from Manti Equity Partners, LP, for an operating agreement. The terms of the operating agreement will pay 23.5% royalty before payout, increasing to 24% after payout. And this is on former state lease 19712. Staff does recommend approval of this item.
Thank you, Mr. Arnold, for the motion. Chair here a second. Thank you, Ms. Segura. Any comment from the public? Board have any comment? Any questions? Any objection to the motion? Here none, the motion carries.
Item number four was a request from McMoran Oil and Gas for approval of a third amendment and ratification of state lease number 340. It has been properly advertised and docketed, and staff is recommending final approval of this item. It's on the docket as number 1141.
Thank you, Mr. Arnold, for the motion. Thank you, Mr. Segura, for the second. Public have any comment on this matter? Board have any comment or question? Any objection to the motion? Hearing none, the motion carries.
Thank you. Item number five is a request by staff for final approval of the alternate energy rules and final approval of the OMR responses to the comments that were made by the public. What happened was a notice of the rules was published. It opened up a limited time for the public to comment. We did receive some comments. The comment period closed. Staff got together, we reviewed all the comments in depth and made some recommendations as to possible changes to the rules based on the comments. There weren't very many because most of the comments that were made were beyond the scope of the legislation and outside of anyone's control absent legislative intervention. However, we do recommend making a few minor changes to the rules. So what we have done is prepared a copy of the rules that was published with some red line edits to them. We also have copies of all the comments that were submitted by the public and the OMR draft responses to those comments. And we have...
Before I would also like to mention that during the public comment period, the public had the opportunity to ask for a public hearing on it. And there were no requests for a public hearing at the time. All there were responsive comments.
Copies of all of that have been provided to you guys, I believe, via email and in your packets. What we've done is we've asked a couple of members of the alternate energy team, Danielle and Byron, to be prepared to answer any questions that you might have. So if you have any questions at this time, we'll let the two of them come up to the table and answer them for you.
Everybody had an opportunity to the board to review the letter from Mr. Cardo prior to our discussion today. For the record, the letter is dated November the 9th, 2011. Right.
No questions? Okay. If there are no questions, staff would like to recommend final approval of the OMR letters and the final rules.
I make a motion to approve.
Thank you, Mr. Arnold.
Yes, there will be.
There will be.
Yes, just we'll open it up.
Do I hear a second? Thank you, Mr. Cadera. I can't see your name today, sir. Thank you. Any question or comment at this juncture from the board? I understand we have some public comment. Please come up, ma'am, and state your name for the record and have a seat and be comfortable. We welcome you.
Thank you. Good morning. My name is Dot McConnell. I am the association manager for the Ports Association of Louisiana. You may know Joe Accardo, who is our executive director and would normally be here this morning, but he's out of town and has asked me to attend and address you in his stead. Basically, I am just here to say that the ports still have some concerns about the rules as they're drafted and presented. We would like to have additional opportunity to meet with staff and to justify, explain, provide additional documentation for those suggestions and comments that we have made. We also feel like that DOTD should have had a greater involvement in this process. They are legislatively mandated to participate, and I think that both their participation and ours has been minimal, and we would like to be more involved. That's really what I'm here this morning for.
Excuse me, did you say, I apologize, Ben, DOTD?
That's correct.
Thank you.
Okay. We did present you with a letter this morning from Mr. Cardo, and it specifically enumerates those concerns that we have, and I think that primarily we're concerned, and I'm not going to read them to you, I'm not going to go over all that, but I do want to just mention one or two. I think the one that we're the most concerned about is how the ports can be reimbursed for expenses that they will incur in evaluating potential sites. We think that we've been told that there are over several thousand of these generators which may be installed, and ports certainly don't have the existing staff or the expertise to evaluate those sites, and they're going to have to contract to have that done, hire consultants. So we need to identify a way that they can be reimbursed for those expenses. We also had requested in our comments that the Corps of Engineers and the Coast Guard be brought into the process at the time the application's made. Those are permitting agencies, and they're going to have to be involved somewhere down the road, and we just felt that it would be beneficial to bring them in earlier so that when permits are actually made, perhaps we'd have a head start. So we feel that a lot of our comments are fairly innocuous, and we haven't had an opportunity to sit down with the staff and justify and explain our position, and that's really what we're asking for here today, if you could delay adoption of the rules until that could be done. Now, we realize that we can have this opportunity during the public hearing process when we go back to the legislature, but we would prefer to do it now with staff so that we can go to the legislature united in our support for the rules. We feel that these rules are important. They're important to all of us. We're all state entities, and the Mississippi River is probably the most valuable natural resource that Louisiana has. We have an obligation to protect it and to ensure that the commerce that's on the river today is maintained. The corridor between Baton Rouge and the mouth of the river represents the largest port complex in the world, and there are over 400 million tons of cargo that move in that corridor annually. That has a huge economic impact on Louisiana, and it's important for us to protect that, and that's really all we're asking for today. We just need to get it right, and we need to get it right the first time. I appreciate your opportunity to speak to you today, and like I say, we would appreciate being able to go back and work with staff a little more to address some of our concerns. Thank you.
The chair has a question, please, ma'am.
Mm-hmm.
Did your representative of the ports, did they make any comments in leading up to the action that's been recommended here today?
As I understand it, our involvement up to the point of the draft was very minimal. But we did, when we were provided with the draft of the rules, we did submit comments, and we have had no opportunity since then to explain, discuss, document need for, or anything like that with staff.
Does staff have any?
Yes, sir. Again, one of the things that was mentioned was the number of the items that were proposed by the Port Authority were beyond the scope of the legislation, specifically remuneration and reimbursement for expenses and things like that. That's not provided in the statute, so it can't be provided in the rules. You have to have an enabling statute to be able to do that, and they were told this prior to, you know, that was one of the comments that they provided early on. And so we could not add it to the rules because it was not provided in the statute. If those comments that were made that are beyond the scope of the rules, if the Port Authority wants to go to the legislature and have them change that, that's fine. Then we'll go over the rules again. But as the statute is provided now, we believe that the comments that we got from the public, from the Port Authority, and from DOTD, which were amply considered by the staff based upon what the statute allows in the rules, that, and we did make some changes based upon those comments. We think that those were sufficient, at least under the Act as it stands now. And again, the Port Authority or DOTD or anybody will have a chance to ask the legislature, because once you approve these changes in the rule, it has to go back to the Standing Committee, Natural Resources Committee of the Senate and the House, and they have to approve them before it can be published finally in the Register. During that time, anybody can ask for another public hearing. And if the committees agree to the public hearing and comments from those public hearings, then we'll have to review those rules again and maybe make further changes. So the opportunity is there. Rather than delay it at this point, we'd rather the board approve the changes based upon the comments we've already received. And again, there was an opportunity for a public hearing prior to those comments being made, which was not requested. So we ask that the board approve the rule changes and the comments that were given at the time, ratify those comments and the changes that were made based upon those comments as it is now, submit that to the standing committees for their review. And if they think, based upon public comment, that there needs to be a public hearing again, then we will handle it from that point on.
I'd like to have Ms. Stafford and Mr. Miller come to the table and address two of the issues that were brought up. One, talk about how the committee was involved with DOTD and the ports in the drafting of the rules, and also the issue about the Coast Guard and the Corps of Engineers.
I would like to add one thing before they do that, and this is regarding the communication between our office and the Port Association, particularly with Mr. Accardo. There were several emails exchanged after the comment period closed, and the emails were regarding the comments from the Port Association. You know, we felt like not much was being accomplished by those emails, so Ms. Talley suggested that we hold a conference call with Mr. Accardo specifically to address some of his concerns in a little greater detail, which we did. I was present, Ms. Talley was present, and some of the members of the alternate energy team were present. So the Port Association did have an opportunity post-comment period to discuss their comments in more detail. You know, I'm sorry that they felt like that was inadequate and that there's still more discussion to be had, but at this point we feel like we've exhausted those efforts, and, you know, there's nothing more to be done that would... anything else would be beyond the scope of the legislation and out of our control. So I just want to add that we have made attempts to communicate with the Port Association.
I have a question. The chair has a question before we begin. Ms. April, did I see in this packet of material that there was only one applicant for these licenses, or are we to that stage yet?
Yes, Mr. Sanders. Hi, I'm Byron Miller. I'm a geologist supervisor that's been involved with this process since the beginning. These hydrokinetic facilities are going to be licensed by the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission, FERC. They handle all hydroelectric facilities in the nation. This licensing process through FERC is currently in the fourth year, and it is a 5.5 to 6 year process. It includes input from the United States Coast Guard, from the Corps of Engineers, from U.S. Fish and Wildlife. Any other governmental organization, either on the state or local level, there is a forum for their participation also, plus any private entities have a voice in it too. Free Flow Power is the one company that is farthest along in this process.
They are Freeport Power?
It is called Free Flow Power.
Free Flow Power, thank you.
And they're based in Boston, I believe. And they are currently in their fourth year of studies that are mandated by the Corps and by the Coast Guard and by FERC to evaluate whatever impacts these facilities and the site criteria for them. So the Corps, to answer her question specifically, the Corps and the Coast Guard have been involved in this from the very first day over the last several years with FERC in this licensing process. And we all hope this promising technology is successful, and if so, there will be many generators installed, and the Corps of Engineers and the Coast Guard are going to ensure that the Mississippi River remains a viable corridor for transportation and commerce. It is probably the most important river waterway in the United States.
Maybe I wasn't articulate enough. Is there only one entity that's seeking the exclusive right to these activities?
There are. Currently, there is one major company, the farthest one along in the process.
Free Flow.
There are a couple of other companies that have preliminary permits and are waiting in the wings, if you will, to see how this licensing process proceeds. Free Flow is really, right, the main player at this point.
What is your best estimate as to when, I know guessing licensing procedures and time frames is difficult. What's your best estimate on going to work on it?
Well, Free Flow is mandated to install a test turbine in the river as part of the Corps and Coast Guard mandated study. They have to do a six-month study of the river before that installation, then they will install that turbine and study that for another 6 or 8 months and then evaluate those results. Free Flow, if everything is approved, and it's not for sure, these licenses will be issued. But if they are, you're looking in 2013, probably late in 2013 before a license could be issued.
Mr. Miller, I believe the statute required the Office of Mineral Resources to promulgate the rules in consultation with DOTD. Would you please share with the committee how the Alternative Energy Committee consulted with DOTD in this process?
Yes, by statute we are to consult with the Department of Transportation. We did send them advanced copies of our draft. We did meet at the offices of transportation, met with many of their staff. Also, there was staff of the Ports Association there also, Mr. Ricardo. We had a lengthy discussion line by line through these rules, and there were many changes made. And we took all of their recommendations into consideration. There was quite a bit of give and take at that meeting. We believe we have a robust set of rules that has many protections and sureties and insurance built in. And I think we've all had an adequate voice.
The chair's questions are not directed at being critical of anyone. I'm simply trying to determine if Free Flow gets this or obtains this application, will there be an opportunity for other entities, if they are able to get the license, to also get involved in that?
Yes.
These rules.
Yes, sir, I can answer that.
I'm a public member.
Yes.
And fairly sophisticated, but this is a very convoluted, complex document that I've been presented with. I wasn't privy to the activities leading up to it when there was public discussion and all that. That's not critical of our staff or anything. I just don't have the knowledge. I'm just simply asking if these rules, as promulgated here today, and that's here before us for vote, is this an exclusive deal if Prepo gets it? Or will there be an opportunity for others, assuming that they can meet this criteria?
Mr. Sanders, the statute, as it was passed by the legislature, requires that the entity have a FERC license before they can get a lease from the state. So FERC really sets up from the beginning who gets to put the turbines in the water. Other entities can also get a license, but the licenses are based on the location of the turbines, and I believe that Free Flow probably has taken up a lot of those. In answer to your question, it's not going to be very competitive, and the leasing will be not competitive at all based on the way the statute was written.
Now, I want to be sure I understand you, because I have to vote here today also,
yes,
or abstain. So what we're taking up here today, and I'm not seeking a platform, I just have an opinion. What we're taking up here today, based on legislative intent, is if this license is granted to Free Flow, ultimately down the road, that shuts out, essentially, other parties from being a party to this.
Yes, sir.
That's my simple question.
I have objected to that part of the legislation. Obviously, our objection was not considered. Yes, whoever gets the FERC license is the only person who can get, the only entity who can get the lease.
And that's
by statute.
Is that the interpretation of lawyers of the statute, or is there plain wording that's legislative intent?
One of our attorneys addressed that.
Theoretically, the legislation applies to anyone, theoretically. As Ms. Talley pointed out, whoever gets the license from FERC for that particular geographical area of the river will get the license from us. That's not to say that FERC is going to be the only entity that these rules apply to, because theoretically, somewhere down the line, another entity could get another FERC license in another area of the river if it's not already taken by FERC. So theoretically, these rules would apply to other entities, but like Ms. Talley pointed out, for all practical purposes, FERC has taken up most of the geographical locations.
They've already locked them up.
If they get their license.
That's what
it's
I'm
not
talking.
To say that they'll get their FERC license. So
I'm making the assumption that the license goes through.
Right.
Not being argumentative with you.
Right.
Yes, sir. It's good to see you this morning.
Good to see you. If I may, Jackson Logan, I sense you're implying some concern over public bid law and whether or not.
I am.
Okay. I wrote an opinion, an Attorney General's opinion, 2009 on this issue for the Mineral Board. It is opinion number 09-0148. Anyway, in the opinion, we state that they need to comply with the public bid law of this state. However, a lot of the competitive process for these licenses and for these companies to get the licenses happens on a federal level. And when we looked at that, because the FERC is so pervasive and they've legislated the field, it's hard for the state of Louisiana to have any input into that. We, again, in our opinion, we have stated that, but the FERC, they've preempted the field here, and you get into issues of federalism and constitutionality in some of this instances. It is an interesting question, but it's, the staff has done, to the extent they can, everything to protect the state's interest in that. But because the FERC is so pervasive and because they're preempting the field, the competition takes place at the federal level, not at the state level, unfortunately for us. I hope that answers.
Well, I hear. Thank you very much. I hear the intellectual side of it and recognize the realities of federalism to its extent. It's being tested as we speak in the courts in several areas, so we'll see about that. But I'm just commenting. I have some real serious reservations about exclusive licenses because competition is the heart of everything in this country. That's just my view. And I'm here for this big per diem I'm getting, but I'm also here interested in statutory per diem. But I'm very interested in this country and this activity.
Well, again, I'm sorry. I guess I should have stayed sitting. There is competition at the federal level. It's not like, you know, these companies are investing
huge amounts of money.
Well, a lot of money in R&D, and there's only certain entities who have the capabilities to do this. Is there some antitrust or monopolistic practices that potentially need to be addressed down the road? Possibly. But at this point, the licenses go out to those who have the capabilities to do it, and that is handled by the FERC at the federal level. So I hear you about the direction of our society, but I don't know if that's something the Louisiana State Mineral Board can address at this point.
Well, I understand. I just wanted to be sure I understood what I was voting on here this morning.
Well, I think what you're voting on is our limited capabilities and, say in the process.
I'd like to add one other thing, too. The rules were written from a perspective as the board and the office as a lessor. I think some of the comments we received from DOGD were of a regulatory aspect, and since the board nor the office has been vested with any regulatory powers, we could not incorporate those. It's strictly from a perspective as a lessor.
Any other board member have a question this morning or comment before we vote? Any other public comment? Does the staff have anything further that they want to offer?
Nothing further, thank you.
Thank you, Ms. April. Okay. We have a motion and a second on the floor. Does anybody have any objection to this motion to adopt these rules? Hearing none, the motion carries. Chairman abstains. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay.
Next, Ms. April.
Item number 6 is a request from Manti Exploration Operating LLC to escrow royalties on the KORBSUA unit, state leases 16995, 17208, 17226, and 19641. This is a dispute on some acreage, and a compromise agreement has been reached between the state of Louisiana and ExxonMobil. However, the final agreement hasn't been signed by all the necessary parties yet, and since there is now production in that area, Manti is requesting to escrow the royalties until the compromise agreement can be signed by all the parties, which actually should be very, very soon.
Yes, it's in the process right now. There's a number of people that have to sign it, so it's in the process of being signed.
So we're recommending that they be granted authority to escrow the royalties for a period of 90 days. If it needs to go beyond 90 days, we'll come back to the board, but we think that it should be resolved within 90 days. And, of course, they'll be subject to all the regular escrow requirements.
Thank you for the motion, Mr. Arnold. Thank you, Ms. Segura, for the second. Any public comment on this matter? Any board comment? Any objection to the motion? Hearing none, motion carries.
Item number 7 is a recommendation from staff to clarify some language in a resolution that was previously approved by this board at the February 10th, 2010 board meeting. What the resolution does is it basically notifies the public that if they have a request for an extension, that they would need to bring it to the OMR staff and to the board no later than 90 days before the expiration of whatever it is they're requesting an extension on. And that gives us enough time to process the request, to get it to you guys, for you guys to vote on it, for it to be advertised, docketed, and go through the entire process. The language of that resolution was just a little ambiguous. The language said that the request must be made no earlier than 90 days from the expiration. We're simply asking to clarify that language by replacing it with at least 90 days before the expiration. And it's a very simple clerical correction, if you will, not really a correction, a clarification. So we're asking that you guys do approve making that change.
Thank you, Mr. Arnold. Thank you, Mr. Segura. Have any public comment concerning this change in language the staff recommends? Any board comment, discussion? Any objection by the board to the staff's recommendation on this matter? Item number 7 on our agenda. Hearing none, motion carries.
Thank you. And the final item, number 8, is a request from Trinity Exploration and Production, LLC, to escrow royalties on the HARA-SUBB, state lease number 20039. Also, that's it, Red River Parish. Let's see, what happened here, there was a survey plat that was provided by PetroHawk to Trinity, and the survey plat identified some disputed areas. So until that dispute can be resolved either by settlement or by filing a concursus petition, Trinity has requested to escrow the royalty payments. Staff does recommend authorizing them to escrow for a period of 90 days or until a concursus petition is filed and subject to the normal escrow requirements.
Thank you, Mr. Arnold, for motion to approve. Mr. Segura, second. Any public comment on this matter? Any objection by the discussion by the board or question? Any objection by the board or any member? Hearing none, motion carries.
Thank you. That concludes the legal and title agenda.
Thank you very much, Mr. Heck, Ms. April. Chair will entertain a motion to adjourn. Thank you, Mr. Segura. Chair, second. Thank you, Mr. Arnold. Any objection? Thank you. We're adjourned. How are you doing, Bear? You saw I got that guy right here. And that white old lady with that old tooth and six stitches. She goes.
I'd like to call a docket review to order. You take roll call. Mr. Smith? Mr. Cordero?
Here.
Mr. Segura?
Here.
Mrs. Smith?
Here.
Mr. Sanders?
Present. Thank you.
Mr. Morton?
Here.
And Mr. Klein? We have a quorum. How you doing, sir?
Good morning. The staff of the Petroleum Lands Division of the Office of Mineral Resources has reviewed those items requiring board approval for the November 9th, 2011 Docket Review Committee and recommends the following. For Category A, State Agency Leases, please approve item number 1. For Category B, State Lease Transfers, please approve items number 1 through items number 28. For Category C, Department of Wildlife and Fisheries, State Agency Lease Transfers, there were no items submitted for this category. For Category D, Advertised Proposals, please approve items number 1 through items number 5. For item number 6, approve subject to the approval of the Governor of Louisiana, and this will complete the staff's recommendations to the Docket Review Committee.
Thank you. You've heard staff's reviews and recommendations. Have a motion? Moved by Segura, second by Mr. Smith. Any comments or questions from the public? Any from the committee? Hearing anyone opposed? The item's a motion carries, and we are adjourned. Thank you.
The board meeting will convene at 11.
All right, I'd like to call the middle board meeting to order. Ms. Talley, roll call, please.
Mr. Rogel, Mr. Segura.
Here.
Mr. Arnold. Mr. Cordero.
Here.
Mr. Diaz. Mr. Ingram. Mr. Morton.
Here.
Mr. Sanders.
Present.
Mr. Smith. Ms. Smith.
Present.
Mr. Klein.
Here.
Mr. Chairman, we have 8 members present and a quorum.
Great. Thank you very much. Item 2 is the approval of the October 12, 2011 minutes. Motion by Mr. Arnold, second by Ms. Smith. Any public comment? Any questions or discussion by the board? If not, all in favor? All opposed? That motion carries. Item 3, the adoption of the committee recommendations. A, the Lease Review Committee. B, the Nomination and Track Committee. C, the Audit Committee. D, Legal and Title Controversy Committee. And E, Docket Review Committee. Do I have a motion by Mr. Arnold to accept this, the recommendations by the committee? Second by Mr. Sanders. Any public comment? Those committee actions? If not, any questions by the board? If not, all in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? That motion carries. All right, item 4 is our executive session. We'll go into a brief recess for our technical briefing, and we'll be back. Do I have a motion by Mr. Arnold, second by Ms. Smith? All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? That motion carries. We'll be in recess for just a few minutes. Reconvene the regular meeting. Do I have a motion to come out of the executive session? Moved by Mr. Arnold, second by Mr. Cordero. All in favor? All opposed? We are back in regular session. Mr. Vaughn?
Okay, thank you, Mr. Chairman. On track number 42338, the staff recommends accepting the bid of Hellas Oil and Gas Company, LLC. On track number 42340, the staff recommends accepting both bids, the first bid by Theopolis Oil and Gas and Land Services and the Cypress Energy Corporation bid. On track number 42341, the staff recommends accepting both bids by Theopolis Oil, Gas, and Land Services. On track number 42354, the staff recommends that the bid by West Grove Energy Holdings be accepted with the additional consideration in addition to what is required by law. On track number 42365, the staff recommends accepting the bid of Matador Resources Company. On track number 42370, the staff recommends accepting the bid of Matador Resources Company. As to the remaining tracks receiving bids, we recommend that those bids be accepted.
Great, thank you. Any questions or discussion by the board? If not, we have a motion to accept those recommendations for the bids and leases. By Mr. Arnold, second by Mr. Sanders. Any public comment? If not, any further questions? All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? That motion carries. Those bids are awarded. All right. Thank you, Ms. Vaughn. Any announcements?
I have two announcements today. The first one, there is a car on the first level of the LaSalle garage with its lights on. It's a silver Volkswagen Jetta with Texas license plate number CSI0462. If that's your car, you may want to turn off your lights before your battery goes dead. The total for today's lease sale is $1,391,869.22, bringing our fiscal year-to-date total to just under $12 million.
Great. Thank you very much. Any comments or questions or any further announcements from the board? If not, we have a motion adjourned by Mr. Arnold, second by Mr. Sanders. All in favor? All opposed? That motion carries. We're adjourned. Thank you very much. We'll see you in December, maybe on the 13th.